Okay, good afternoon, everyone. I know it has been a long day, and I can see we're the last session, so no much of participants. Anyway, I'll make sure it's a short but interesting session, so I hope you'll enjoy it. My name is Mohammed, and my friends call me Mo, so you can call me Mo too. Today, I would like to share with you some of our experiences when it comes to Azure. We'll talk about Azure Friday, what it is, and what's all about. I'm the program manager of Azure Friday at Siemens. I'm also responsible for the CI, or the continuous integration within the Cloud First project. We'll come to that later. But before we start, I would like to ask you, who's using or planning to use public cloud in his organization? Okay, cool. And how many of those is Azure planning or already using? Okay, cool. So our agenda, we'll talk about Siemens a little bit, company, our size, our IT infrastructure, how does it looks like, the Cloud First at Siemens project, or initiative, what is it all about? And we'll go and dig deeper a little bit into the Azure Friday at Siemens. And we'll do some demos. I'll share with you some of our challenges that we had, goods and bads, so it will not be like a marketing session. We will share everything fairly. Also, we'll not be able to go through everything that the Cloud First at Siemens is facing. But at the end, you'll see my email address. Feel free to make a photo and email me if you want to. We like always to get in contact with other organizations. We share what we do, you guys share what you do, and we benefit both from this experience. So Siemens. I assume everyone knows Siemens, so I don't think I need to spend too much time in this to say what we are. But these are some examples of what we do. So we have many departments, power and gas, we build windmills, we build trains, components and submarines and ships. We have building technologies to automate buildings, healthcare section, financial services, and like you name it. So we manage one of the largest IT infrastructure in the industry. We have 320,000 users. We have 370,000 clients. We have about 160,000 smartphones, 10 petabytes of storage, over 30,000 servers, virtual and physical. And our IT infrastructure department, we are in 46 countries, and we have about 1,000 employees. So you can imagine 1,000 employees are not doing everything for the rest of the almost 400. So we focus on the infrastructure side of things, and we have also outsourced some of our services. So with this size, we have some demands and challenges. Cost savings, ease of use, automation, and all this kind of stuff. So this was the reason why an initiative like Cloud First at Siemens was born. So this is the Cloud First at Siemens. This is the project or the initiative to move 50% of our workload into the cloud. Now, it's public and private cloud, so both things. But anything that is C1 and C2, we classify things based on confidentiality level. So we have three levels. One and two should be good to go to the cloud. The scope, operations for cloud providers, test and development environments, and also consultation or consulting for new deployments. So we want to help our rest of Siemens, the internal departments. And when I say, we call it customers. So in Siemens, when you hear the word customer from an infrastructure employee, it means it's an other department, because we have to really sell them our ideas, and not that just we don't have a central IT where we force everything has to go this way. Rather, we have to actually convince them and go through with them, consult and do some consultancy, and so on. So if you hear me talking about customers, it's our rest of the company, not infrastructure. So obviously, moving 50% of such a huge workload to the cloud, we face some challenges. So we have some questions and challenges. How we are going to organize our team? How will Siemens go into the cloud? How would the future operations look like, right? And what? Who is our target group? How to reach them? How to know that there is a project or there is an initiative that we need to take care of that probably be a good idea to move to the cloud? And also, how to actually change people's mindsets and make them ready to go to the cloud. And this is one of the biggest challenges we are facing. I don't know how much of you guys are facing similar issues as well in your organization. So it's most of us, right? We're all in the same boat. Maybe different sizes, different side of looking at it, but at the end, we all face this problem. And one of the biggest issues is how to get people to buy this idea, right? Because if you just force them to do something, they may do it, but then they will come up and complain and say, hey, it's not working, it was you. But we would like to take them with us in the same boat and be really one team. So today we'll focus on the last part of this slide. So how to really change people's minds, how to get them with us in the same boat. So before we dig deeper, I'd like to introduce to you someone. And as we talk about changing people's minds and mindset and get them with us in the same boat and so on, we have to start with some communication, some marketing, right? So we thought about creating an icon for this project, something that remains in people's minds, right? And I would like to introduce to you Mr. Cloud. So most of us technical people, we underestimate this such things, right? We say, we focus more about performance, stress testing, and so on. But you would not believe it how much these things work, even with techies, even with ourselves, right? So Mr. Cloud is our movie star. He comes in our presentations, in our one-pager, in our newsletters, everywhere, right? Okay, so about our target group. So guess what? No one wants to be the first, right? If you go to someone, hey, guy, would you like to move to the cloud? Why me? First question. So we thought about it like we used to be kids, right? We like to play in the sandbox, and then mama has to clean up, right, afterwards. So we thought to create a similar idea for everyone who's with, against, thinking about it, whatever. Everyone is invited from the infrastructure. We started with the infrastructure team to come in to our sandbox event. So we planned it actually this way. We want something that is safe for everyone to play in without destroying anything. We want it to be within the budget. We started with the IT infrastructure group. And we agreed with our management that for one day every month, that's why it's called the Friday. It's the first Friday of each month. And that was because the management don't want to spend for people to spend the whole week or month doing something else, but focusing also on their work. So that was the agreement, one day per month. So as a part of the sandbox, it was the Azure Friday at Siemens. So the basic idea we planned that we say, okay, one subscription, everyone share this subscription. Imagine like a sandbox, one Azure subscription. Everyone shares this subscription and play in this area. And after they finish, we just clean up. Okay, so far so good. Would you think it will work? Now this is the question we ask ourselves. Do you think this thing will work? And, of course, that was a tough question at that time, but it did work. And if it wouldn't have worked, I wouldn't have been standing here today talking about it, right? I joined Siemens in early 2013, January, to be specific, 1st of January 2013. And I joined the Active Directory and Exchange team. So I was an Exchange administrator. And I saw the flyer for the Sandbox event. Oh, okay, everyone is from the infrastructure is invited. Would you like to join, try the cloud, blah, 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 okay. At that time, I didn't know much about this topic. So I said, okay, I'll join. And I joined the first session. And I was really thrilled with this, the endless possibilities that you can do in the cloud, right? The automation, the speed of really doing things. But also in the session, there was a lot of problems. We will go through it later on. And I suggested some solutions. So I said, guys, it was an amazing session, but here are some solutions which may make life easier for you, okay? We've implemented these solutions, and we took it step by step. I end up joining the team, and then I end up now being the program manager of this Azure Friday. So it did work very well. So how did we start? We started with communication. Now we've created an icon, we've created a movie star, very good. But also we've created the newsletter articles. We've created also a social network group, something like internal Facebook, for people to exchange ideas, feedbacks, get support, you know? We've also designed the day to be consist of four main sections. Right? So the day consists of, so it's like, let's say it's 8 hours. It's a bit more than 8 hours. But it has an introduction session. This is about 1 hour or 1 hour and a half. We don't exceed 1 hour and a half because otherwise people usually take mental exit. And then we leave the people to play in the sandbox for about 4 to 5 hours. They can do whatever they want in this subscription. And then we have a feedback session. How did the sandbox go? Did you like it? Didn't you like it? Which topic did you like? What did you do? Why? And also we ask questions like, do you have a project you're working on? You know, do you have an, would you ever imagine yourself moving to the cloud? And so on. And then we leave everyone to continue playing in the cloud. So if you think about it, right? These four main sections, what is the most important one of these four? What do you think? Feedback is very important. Any other opinions? Also very important. So in my opinion, the introduction is one of the most important parts, right? If we lose people during the introduction, they're not gonna do the rest. In some cases, of course, you get people who are interested in the cloud and say, I need to just play. So they just skip the introduction or they just go through it real quick and then they play in the sandbox. This does exist. For us, the most important one is the feedback because this is what we're looking for, right? But the focus we've done, the most work is in the introduction to make it as interesting as possible for everyone, not to lose him afterwards, also to get him in the feedback because you usually get in the introduction 100, we'll have to put a cap on 100 people because otherwise it will just be uncontrollable. And in the feedback session, you get less people usually. So you get really the most interested people in the session. So how does the introduction looks like? So the introduction, we've split it into, again, four main sections, right? The first one is Azure interface. So imagine you're getting 120 people from different backgrounds, different cultural backgrounds, different technical backgrounds, at different pace, different experiences. And so the first part, we need to take care of those project managers, service managers, people who never actually touched the cloud, techies who are never saw Azure before. So we go through the interface real quick. And also, we create one or two resources just to see, to give people a little bit of idea of how to create a virtual machine or touch things. So now we got those who has never seen Azure before. But you also get people who are really targeting this session for a specific reason, and they're well, good experienced. We need them also with us. So we choose a topic, and this goes into our marketing phase before, like 2 weeks before the event. Which topic are we gonna talk about? Usually it's either Internet of Things, big data. We just pick up a service one by one, right? So virtual machine, web apps. There was many, many services in Azure, so we took them one by one. And we talk about it, we explain it, and also then we do a demo for everyone. And the interesting part about the demo, it has to be very, very easy for everyone to do it, but still powerful enough for those who have experience to enjoy it. And this is, and you need to get all in like less than 90 minutes, right? Okay. So we have to choose different topics. So we had a good experience so far. We build up by time. So these are some samples of the topics that we have spoke about: HD Insight, Big Data, Azure SQL Database, Internet of Things. So let me show you two of those examples, just a very, very brief examples of how did we design this. So for example, the Internet of Things, right? So we have an introduction, we spoke about it, Internet of Things, some slides, some theory, but also we need people to get their hands dirty, right? So there is a website on Microsoft, Microsoft website, it's called AzureIoTSuite.com. If you go there, you'll find a ready-made labs for the Internet of Things. All what the user or the participant needs to do is to go to this website and pick one of them. I think that at that time there were two. I'm not sure if there are still two or they add to it any more demos. One is the predictive maintenance and the other one is the remote monitoring. And they just click select, fill up a form. So I will not go into details in this because it's just an example, but at the end, this is the end result. The user sees a huge interface. He built up the cluster from the ground up using few clicks. Everything is automated in the background. And he can see this interface, right? He can see devices sending signals live to this interface, and he can see humidity and temperature, right? And he can see, okay, this is the humidity, the temperature. He can create virtual device himself. So they got very, this demo get everyone interested. So from who has no experience to those who are really working with big data to see the potential of building a cluster in less than an hour, right? Another example is the big data. Again, building the cluster. It was a template on the GitHub. The participants click on apply to Azure. I think most of us knows that. They go to this window. They have to fill up a form, click OK. The cluster got built. And at the end, after building the cluster, we get them to import two books, one for DaVinci and one for Ulysses, and actually compare the words in this book. So this is what gives the people the interesting part. They see they are the infrastructure admin in this demo, and also they are the user of this demo, right? They got the whole cycle from the start to the end, and they saw two books getting imported and getting analyzed in less than a few minutes, and they can compare the words, right? So, for example, there was in this book that much times, but in Ulysses that much, and so on. So we picked the most common 10 words. So how about the feedback we got? So we got good and bad feedbacks, right? So the good feedback, people got interested and they got, you remember the slide when we spoke about, I don't want to be the first one? Now they approach us to say, we have projects and we would like to move to the cloud. Can you help me to do that? How can I apply my policies to the cloud? The cert, measure plans, and so on. Right? They say, okay, the interface is easy and user-friendly. The support was great. The support we give through email and the social network, which helps people exchanging also problems, ideas, criticism, we're open. We never knew that Microsoft support Linux. It was surprising, but it seems to be not everyone still knows that Microsoft is changing and is more open towards other vendors. And obviously, some people even admit that they were against the cloud. But we also got, room of improvement or negative feedbacks or things that we actually observe that they are not going really well. For example, our operation team needed a lot of time to prepare that environment for these guys, right? For 100, 120 people. I'll show you later on more about this. Some people complained they could not access the Azure resources. They said, OK, we have created some resources in the cloud, worked fine, but I couldn't access it. So what is the use? My resources have been deleted. I created some resources, but I couldn't find them anymore. Obviously, because we are sharing one subscription, right? So everyone is owner, things get deleted by mistake. No more resources are left, especially in the Internet of Things session. And people create clusters, no more resources left. Other people come in, we have in these three regions. So usually when APAC starts, they usually have no problem, but then in EMEA and the US, we have no more resources anymore. Azure interface is slow, and I think it still is. we need more time. So how did we tackle this? If you go from the bottom up, we need more time. So we have an agreement with the management on one day each month. We cannot change it. So this point is just out of our scope, right? The other one, Azure interface is slow. Do you guys face this problem as well? Azure interface is slow? Yeah? Yeah? Who else? Yeah? So anyone found a solution for this? No? So we found a workaround. I'll show you now. It's basically, so I hope to, okay. We found a workaround. So obviously this interface should be a bit of familiar. So if you disable the animation, it starts to be very different. So it starts to be much faster than it used to be. I think Microsoft is working on this one because we have reported it many times, and I feel it's a bit faster than before, but still I have to disable the animation to get it really fast. So you can try it for those who are facing this problem as well. Okay, so the second problem. Okay, no more resources left. Did you guys face this problem as well? Anyone hit the limit? Okay, so if you face this issue, we open a support case. So it's very easy to open a support case from the interface itself. So, and they are very responsive. Actually, they got back to us like within less than 24 hours. Just click on, I think, help, new support request, and choose the code option, like that you have a problem with the code. And they should get back to you really. So quota type depends on which service you're hitting. So we faced this during a session, and then we figured out that we have to do that at least 1 week before the session, because Microsoft usually take 1 to 2 days to really do it, like increase your cores or whatever. And so that we'll be ready for the session. Otherwise, people really get frustrated because you're showing something that they cannot do. Okay. So this is for the resources. My resources have been deleted. So for those who have experience with Azure, if you are sharing one subscription, right, and at least two guys, they're sharing the same subscription, and one deletes the other's resources. How would you tackle this issue? Did you face this before, or do you have any experience in this direction? Did you face it? Did you solve it? Anyone? So anyone knows what a resource group is? Exactly. So we solve it using the resource groups, right? So for those who don't know, a resource group in Azure is a container. So if you go to the subscription, you find resource groups. And if it's a new subscription, obviously you'll not find any resource group, but you'll have the icon still saying, here is the resource groups. I'll show you now. And the resource group is a container of resources. So you can create a resource group for each participant and give him or her the rights on this particular container. Oops. Let me show you. So if you go to this side, you click on resource groups. And these are my resource groups, right? And you can give access to your participants or to your, let's say you have two projects. You're working on two projects, but you have one subscription. You don't want this project to mess up with the resources of the other project. And also, you may regenerate billing information based on, you want to see, okay, this project has cost me that much, and so on. So we have many subscriptions, but for the sandbox, we have only one subscription. And thus, we had to create user accounts in this Azure Active Directory, and also for each user, a resource group, and give him or her owner rights on this resource group. And he can then, he doesn't have even read access to the subscription. He can only see this resource group. He feels like he's alone. Feels like, okay, I have only this environment myself. They still share the same quota, but they don't see each other at all. So this is how we solved the resource groups, the resource group issue. So how about the long time that took the operation team to actually prepare the environment? So imagine 120 people. Let me show you real quick what. So if we want to say, okay, we want to create a resource group for each person, so we will create a resource group. So Azure 123, don't know if that would work. Yeah, create. This is the resource group, and then we go to the Active Directory. We click on Add User. Click on Azure 123. Azure 123. Ah. Okay, so we create a user. We add it to a group. Still searching for groups. Okay, select create user. The user now is getting created. After it's got created, we need to go back to our resource groups and refresh, obviously, and then add this user to be an owner of this group. So we click here, add, we choose owner. So Azure 123, select, okay. So imagine doing this for 120 people. It's just nonsense, right? It just won't work. I mean, it may work for one time. We've done it once. But it's not a long-term solution at all. So how would you guys do that? I mean, what would you use to automate this? Do you have any, do you guys use any automation tools, IT configuration automation tools? PowerShell? Yeah, right? What else? Puppet, Shell, Chef, Ansible, any other Azure automation. There are many players in this, so PowerShell has to be in the background anyway. but it's PowerShell DSC, for example, is also an automation configuration tool. So we've picked up Ansible for this, and I'll not go through why, but every tool has pros and cons. But I'll show you how does Ansible looks like, right? So real quick, how do we do that? So first, we have to put the users in a list. This is an easy one. We'll get it done in Excel in less than 2 minutes, right? So we have a formula. It collects the usernames, email addresses, and put them in this form. We paste them here. So I just have 5 examples for today. And then we run Ansible. So as you can see, first, now the automation tools work similarly. So any tool you will use, it will more or less have the same effect. So it firstly has created the users. So yellow means change. It didn't find the users. So it means, OK, I didn't find them. I created them for you. And then it waits for 30 seconds. Because we figured out that creating a user and then directly jumping to the next step, it's too fast, right? So the Active Directory needs a little bit of time for the users to be created, to be published, and this kind of stuff. After the 30 seconds, it moves to the next step, which is adding the users to a group. So there is already a group which we have. We give it the needed permissions on the subscription level or whatever. And then it creates the resource group for this particular user. And then it assigns this user the owner rights to this resource group. And the best thing of all, at the end, it sends the user an email saying, welcome to Azure, your subscription has been created, here is your login information. So you basically have to do nothing, right? If I would show you the email. So this is how the email looks like. We've created 5 users, Mohammed 1, 2, 3, 4, and here is the login information for this particular user. So it's basically a welcome email, a URL, and a password, and that's pretty much it. Okay. Also, deleting the users, we do it automatically as well. Similar to what I've shown you guys, but it deletes it automatically. So we don't have to delete each and every user and resource group manually. So this is one of the things which maybe you guys also are facing. I cannot access my resources in the cloud. I created some resources. I created some database. But I need to access this database. I need to open port 1433. I have created a virtual machine, but I cannot SSH or RDP to it. When I try, it just fails. Did any one of you guys face this as well? Do you have a VPN connection between your company and Azure or an express route? Express route, yeah? So in this case, you don't have this problem. But for a sandbox event, you cannot just build a VPN connection like we do for production environments because it's a very unsecure environment. So it's uncontrollable, unsecured environment, right? So how would we tackle this issue? So we thought about how can we actually create something that is secure and accessible, but in the same time not connected to our network, right? So it was a bit of a challenge, but we managed to find a software that if you install it on a Windows machine somewhere, it gives you something called RDP over HTTPS. So you access the machine over HTTPS just using your browser. Let me show you. But you see an RDP session, right? Let me show you how this looks like. So this is basically the machine. Now, for some reason, you cannot see the bar. Let me refresh. But as you can see, this is my browser up there. It's Safari. And you can still see the Windows stuff. Let me refresh. So this is the software. It's called Cefinity Remote Desktop. And if you click connect, so you put in the username and password, log in, and you're in. Just an RDP session. Now the resolution is a little bit messed up, but you got the idea. So it's basically an RDP session over HTTPS. But the second question is, okay, the users, they need this machine, they need this software on it, and they need other software as well. So they need Firefox, they need Chrome. Now, we want to save our users time as well. We don't want them just to log in and just start losing 2 or 3 hours downloading software which they may need and installing it, right? So I'm trying to share with you every third party that we found useful. So Thefinity RDP is a good start. And now, how can we automate this? Because we could not do it for 120 people, right? We could not just create 100 virtual machines or 120 virtual machines and start to install each and every software, Visual Studio, WinSCP, and those kind of stuff. And even worse, we cannot expect how much people of these 120 will really need a jump host. Because if you are working from home, or if you have your personal computer with you, and you have a direct connection through LTE or 3G, you really don't need a jump host. This is mainly needed for those who are working from their work computer inside Siemens network. And this is how we had to think about an easy way to offload ourselves, but still making it interesting and easy for our customers or the sandbox participants to use, right? So we use a software called Ansible Tower. And if you let me show you the Ansible Tower interface. So this is how it looks like. Oops. You log in. So we now even integrate it to our network that you don't even need to type a username and password. I'll just do it for this demo. But usually you click S and you're in with your smart card login. Right? And this is how it looks like. Now, all what the user need to do, right, is click on the rocket sign beside the Azure Jump Host job template, click on it, and they have to fill up a form. So we pre-fill the form for everyone, but we leave usually the first name, last name, and the email address empty. So all what they need to do, put in their first name, last name. Obviously, they can change if they have their own subscription and they are not a sandbox participant. They can still change the tenant ID and they can change the subscription ID. They can put in their own client ID and secret key. So if for you guys who don't know, you can add an application into Active Directory, and you can generate something called client ID and secret key for your automation process to do something on this subscription based on the permission you've given. And this is the nice thing I like about Azure, that it actually open for whichever possibility you want to use. So you choose the region, the size, and also the nice thing about it, the user can mix and match the software they need to install. So they don't have to install all the software that we provide, but they can mix and match the software. So yes, no, launch, when they press launch, so I'll press launch, but let me use 6, because 4 is already taken. And it will spin up for him a virtual machine. It will install this software for him, and then it will send him an email saying, okay, your jump host has been created, looks like this one, with the username and password. So he clicked the URL, and he can check the browser or put in his username and password, and he can just use it as his jump host, that, like I showed you before. So that was the jump host. So we went even further, right? So far it works so good, but we start to record the sessions to make it on for the users on demand. We must not repeat ourselves each time, start from the zero each time. No, we don't do that anymore. We pick a topic and we focus on it. And for those who are interested, we send them the email pre the session, they can check these videos, right? We also got people involved, right? So we say, what would you like to know next time? Which topic would you be interested in? And all these small bits and pieces, they bring people more and more in both with us. So let's see some statistics, right? So this is an example. We've got 600 people, 600 unique participants in 5 sessions, and we paid Microsoft less than 1,000 euro. So this is very, in my opinion, very successful marketing campaign. Cheaper, it will be hard to achieve, right? But we didn't stop here. Now, think about it. You have a very healthy soil in your company, people interested to try anything you want, and they give you feedback in 4 hours. You must use it, right? So we use it to introduce new technologies. If we are building something in our production project, we get it first to the sandbox. We get, guys, what do you think about this? Give us your feedback. You get from 120 people feedback in 4 hours. It's easy to use. It's nonsense. It's good. It's bad. I wouldn't need it. It's perfect, but I cannot use it. Whatever. So we start to make it our sandbox, right? So the takeaways, if you are thinking to do something similar in your organization, right? Communication. So communicate the benefits, the business benefits and the savings. Get your manager's support for the budgeting and stuff. Avoid repeating yourself. Make videos. Make yourself comfortable with the topic because people will take you for granted that you are the most experienced person in this topic and they will hit you with questions. And Microsoft, they offer support as well. So we had also someone with us, Carsten Lim, on site when we have such sessions, just in case things went too deep, we can still have backup. Make a demo as easy as possible for everyone to use. And automation is a very hot topic. So even if you make a session only for automation, people will love you. At the end, we figured out Mr. Cloud has fallen in love with Azure. And so do I. So guys, thank you very much for attending. And I hope you've enjoyed the session. If you have any questions, please feel free to ask. Yeah.
Did you, was that like a solid day or 8 hours a month? I mean, you probably want a bigger chunk, so did the management buy off on just an 8 hour day? Or?
Yeah, well, the management's agreed on 1 hour per month, right? And we started to do it the first Friday of each month. That is why it came up, take the name Friday. One time, just to share a part of this, one time we had problems on Friday because I think it was a public holiday in India or something like that, and we had to move the event to Thursday. Most of people didn't attend. They just, the mindset is set on Friday. And they were like, where's the session on Friday? So since then, we kept on doing it Fridays, always. So even if we want to move the session, we move it also to Friday so that we don't mess up with people. More questions? No questions. So feel free to make a photo of my email, and we would love to share our experience more. Now this was the sandbox, but we have obviously a lot of challenges moving 50% of our workload, so we really love to share our experience and get from you guys what you're doing. We do it with many organizations, like BMW, for example, and we do a session every 3 months, and we exchange our experience with theirs to make it win-win. Feel free. We'll love it. Okay, if there is no more questions, thank you very much. Thank you.